This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the show. The number is 202-380-3699. You can take control of the airwaves. You don't have to talk about the money, the government money that is being debased constantly as they print trillions upon trillions more dollars.
Money printer going.
It's to the point where the number of zeros is really hard for, I think, people to really have any kind of conceptualization as to what it actually means. But what it actually means is that the money that you do have is going down in value. You can count on that.
Yep.
When it comes to the government money. And now they're talking about introducing a digital dollar. And I don't, when I say digital dollar, I don't mean like the digital dollars we've had as far as like when you swipe a credit card or the money that's in a bank account represented by ones and zeros in a computer system. Technically, those are digital dollars
sure.
too, but a different concept, one that's sort of supposed to sound like cryptocurrency, but it's not.
And here's an idea.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the government just adopt stablecoin?
Well, let's talk about what that means and all that here in just a moment. But I want to get to your calls and thoughts. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
It's the captain.
To your calls and thoughts. Joe is on the line. He's in Atlanta listening on the radio. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you. You guys have a great show. It's very informative. And I definitely wanted to pause my run for a second to give you guys a call.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys are very well educated on your topic. You can hear it. Just a couple things. I'm a long-time investor. I grew up with a Fidelity folder, and it was just something I learned how to do for my folks. However, crypto has never been terribly attractive to me. And I think a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of what I see in regards of the social climate around crypto is a romanticism. And typically in just the history of markets and stable markets, one of the warnings or red flags that I've always associated with a crash is that this euphoria associated with a currency or a stock, and especially when they're so volatile. You know, this idea that the U.S. dollar isn't backed by anything is only partially true, because the government, of course, is able to tax businesses and people and create bonds or sell assets or do many things that provide a formidable backing behind the U.S. dollar.
That's not really backing, though. I mean, backing traditionally has meant that you can go and get something for your dollar. Like back when it was backed by silver, you could go to the Federal Reserve and exchange dollars for silver, and you could actually get real value from it. Saying the government can tax people is not a form of value.
Sure. So what I would say to
that's just stealing.
Sure. Well, what I would say to that is the majority of Bitcoin purchases, in fact, I'd imagine an overwhelming majority of them are purchased via fiat money. And then from my perspective and from what I've seen is the majority of those transactions are made with the idea that Bitcoin is going to somehow rise in price as an investment. The majority of purchasing I see isn't done by people who want to actually spend their Bitcoin.
That's true. I'll agree with you there.
Yeah. Sure. However, I would like to point out here in Keene, New Hampshire and other places on the planet, for example, tonight I went and had dinner at a very nice restaurant here in town. I paid with Bitcoin cash.
What's it called?
It's called Pho Keene Great.
I love that restaurant.
Yes. It's a Pho restaurant. Pho.
Yep.
And I was able to pay with Bitcoin cash tonight is what I paid for my
Yeah, there's
with.
Something like a dozen businesses here in a tiny little town of 23,000 people that actually do accept cryptocurrency at their point of sale. So it is done. But you're right, Joe. Most people getting into crypto have seen number go up, and they want, you know, to get in on
right.
that craze. And I think you're not wrong about that.
I would caution you, though, you know, I respect your position as an investor, but keep in mind that cryptocurrency, the blockchain, is a new technology. It is not a stock.
Yeah, it's not a stock.
It is not. It is a different animal. And so some of the rules that you might be used to applying to stocks and trades and all of that kind of thing may not apply. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that they may not.
So my answer to that, and that's an excellent point. It is absolutely a blockchain-fueled, I don't like to use the word regulated when I speak about it, but it's blockchain-backed and fueled. Now, that blockchain has been assumed by, in particular, China, where we see the majority of the mining taking place. I think I've read almost 70% of that blockchain.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Isn't China's government going after the miners again? They keep, like,
they
threatening
are.
Them. And then...
They are. In fact, a whole bunch of them, I think, are shutting down as we speak.
And we're going to see other international, and in our case, national banks doing similar things.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me if it's not American.
Well,
it's
Bitcoin,
not an American.
Your Bitcoin may very soon become worthless. It's that volatile. And the idea behind that...
Because people are mining it in China?
I'd like to say it's not true, but it's a speculative market.
Sure, anything's possible.
I
Bitcoin
mean, yeah,
could
we
go,
could say that about the dollar.
Bitcoin, well, it, the dollar is going to go down.
Yeah,
that's
but
for
I'm
sure.
just saying, like, of course that could happen. I could say that about the dollar. It's not like, oh, you got me, now let's not invest in Bitcoin.
But here's the thing, Joe, as far as, Bitcoin tomorrow could all of a sudden go to zero. It's possible.
That's correct.
But the odds that it will are very, very low, because the more people start to value Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, the more they start to use them, the more they learn about them, the more they accept them. And we're not seeing usage and acceptance and value of it going down over time. It has gone up pretty consistently. Yeah, it's got peaks and valleys, but if you look at the last 12 years that Bitcoin's been around, it's been a ride up with the exception of the last few months.
And even with the dip that we're in currently, adoption has not gone down.
That's right.
Adoption continues to rise, even though Bitcoin per se, in and of itself, well, in the market as a whole, is down right now.
But one thing's for sure, you can't pick, you don't know who the winner is going to be long term. We don't know if Bitcoin's going to stay on top of the heap, that they're, you know, if it'll be replaced by another competitor and how soon that'll happen. But one thing I think we can say for sure, this technology, you mentioned blockchain. And for our listeners that don't know, blockchain, to go back, if you were tuning in earlier, you might have heard Captain kind of explaining the idea that it's a public ledger that's available on thousands of nodes all around the planet. It can't be hacked. It can't be, you know, messed with. You can't cook the books. This technology, whether it ends up being Bitcoin or something else, it's not going away. Would you agree with that?
So I would actually make two points in regards to your previous statement. So number one, as beautiful an idea as the utopian Bitcoin is, its lack of surveillance will simply disrupt and remaneuver these international and national governing bodies.
What do you mean by lack of surveillance?
Oh, we need an authority.
So the fact that there is no surveillance within the Bitcoin community will piss these governments off to the point where they release their national digital currency and they ultimately do a China and they ban Bitcoin. And that's just inevitable. And that's Big Brother at its finest.
Well, first of all, there is surveillance when it comes to Bitcoin because the blockchain is public. There are private blockchains out there like Monero, for instance, or the Pirate Chain.
I debate with you on whether or not Bitcoin can be properly surveilled. There's not much of a paper trail behind Bitcoin, and I've dealt with it.
What you can't tell is, like, for instance, if you were to go and get an Edge wallet tonight or an Exodus wallet or one of these roll-your-own private keys or in-your-possession wallets, and you create that wallet and you don't tell anyone about it, then, no one knows that you have that particular wallet address. However, every Bitcoin that's ever been spent can be traced back from the moment and to the place, the wallet, where it was originally mined to. So the entire Bitcoin blockchain is completely traceable and public. But I get your concern, Joe, the idea being that government will see a threat from cryptocurrencies and try to outlaw them. And I think
I don't get as concerned because it's not an issue with Bitcoin. Why would the answer be, oh, let's only transact in dollars because the government might make it illegal? The issue is stop listening to the government. Stop doing everything the government says.
I get his concern, though, because that tends to be what government does. If they can't control a thing, and Joe, good call, thanks for making it tonight. I appreciate the discussion. If they can't control a thing, they want to ban it. I mean, that tends to be the government's way. But the good news is, even if they do ban cryptocurrencies, and I don't think they really can because it's ultimately a free speech issue in the U.S., and I think they'll fail if they try to ban it, they can't get rid of them. They won't go away. There's more coming up here in moments. 202-380-3699. Thank you, Joe. More.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Yeah. You can join us if you
you want. The number is 202-380-3699. 202-380-3699. With you in the studio tonight, you got Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And the captain.
We've got more to say on this Federal Reserve digital dollar.
I've got something to say.
They are promoting, they're talking about publicly now, I guess, and we'll try to have some sort of explanation for what this thing is.
I spent some Bitcoin today.
Sorry. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Captain Kickass in the studio here. Did either of you guys feel like you really got a chance to respond to that last caller? Bonnie, I think
more
you did.
To say.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted to say. He was saying, well, for one thing, he was talking about crypto like it was all Bitcoin. If, you know, he's saying that your Bitcoin could go be worth zero because 70% of it's mined in China and they make it illegal there. Like,
that's not going to make it go to zero, even if that does happen.
First of all, it's not going to make it go to zero, and you made it sound like earlier that you thought it could. But
no, it could.
No, like, I'm saying Bitcoin, it's possible for Bitcoin to go to zero, not necessarily as a result of anything China's doing. It's just possible because it's a new technology. You know, if people suddenly abandon it for some reason, let's say, for example, some other cryptocurrency that does it better, faster, and, you know, more feature-rich than Bitcoin comes out
like
of nowhere.
All of them.
Yeah, comes out of nowhere. And everybody, it's like the migration from MySpace to Facebook, right? When that thing happened, Facebook became a deserted wasteland. It's entirely possible.
You mean MySpace?
I'm sorry, MySpace became a deserted wasteland and everybody was on Facebook.
It'll happen to Facebook at some point, too. Something else will knock
and
it out.
So that's entirely possible. He was talking about the I think he called it the social something surrounding the currency, the social climate around the currency. It is a very...
he called it romanticism. That was the word.
Yeah, and it currently is because of the fact that it came out of nowhere.
And it's a new technology.
And a new technology that made some people very wealthy.
Yeah. I wanted to say that, too, because he was like, and I know from stocks, you don't want to go for stocks that are people are all hyped about. Yeah, you don't want to go buy, what was it, the GameStop stock when everybody's talking about it.
It's not stocks.
It's not the same thing at all. It's a new technology.
Yeah.
You want to get into computers when computers are invented. You don't want to get into GameStop stocks when everybody's hyped about GameStop stocks.
Right.
It's just not the same thing. It's apples and oranges.
Right, and that's a good point that it's apples and oranges because when it comes to a stock, you're talking about a company that's run by people and they have a product or a service or whatever and they've got a vision. And
controlled by the government as just the result of being a corporation.
Correct. They're corporate controlled by the government and the stock market's controlled and regulated by the government.
Right.
Whereas with cryptocurrency, when it comes to Bitcoin specifically, there are people, like there are programmers, but anyone can contribute to the programming. It's open source, so there's no, like, you know, private intellectual property laws or patents or, you know, ownership or licensing.
Nobody's
or
getting
anything
royalties
like that.
Or anything like that.
Yeah, it's truly a free marketplace because if somebody doesn't like the way Bitcoin is, let's say somebody says, oh, well, Bitcoin is too slow. So they make another cryptocurrency. They take Bitcoin's code because it's open source. They can just press copy and then paste and then edit. And that's what they did when Litecoin came out in 2013. The guy who made Litecoin said, Bitcoin's too slow. I'm going to make it four times faster. And so he made the what they call the block time, which is the amount of time between blocks that are mined onto the blockchain by the miners. This is what the miners do without getting into technical details, is they take the waiting transactions that are out there in what's called the mempool, those who've said, you know, send and receive, whatever, and it mines them into that block, making them permanently part of the blockchain, permanently part of that ledger, that public ledger we discussed. So he said, I think it should be four times faster, and that's all he did. He didn't make any other changes to the Bitcoin code. Others have added other features to the code. Mm-hmm. Others have changed it completely in a lot of different ways. Some have rolled their own cryptos from scratch, like Monero, which has nothing from the Bitcoin code. It might take some basic concepts from it, but the actual code was something completely different. So it's open source. It's a true free market, and stocks are totally regulated and totally controlled. So, yeah, people should do their due diligence and actually look into this rather than just blowing it off.
I have one other comment to make. If he's that worried about people mining in China, he can mine himself. Like,
that's
anybody
true.
Can mine here.
Yeah, there's nothing
encourage
at all.
Encourage others to do it.
Right. There's nothing at all stopping anyone with, you know, a few thousand bucks on their hands to get into the world of cryptocurrency mining. You could probably do it for a few hundred bucks, you know, for the cheaper cryptos, the smaller ones out there. I know, Captain, you've dabbled a little bit in this area. You've not done Bitcoin proper, right? You've done some of the
right.
alternatives.
Yeah. I mined some Hush.
Mm-hmm.
I mined some Zen. And
you still doing it?
No, it's summertime. So I use my crypto miners for heat.
You do it part time.
Yeah, I do part time. And, if you look at the dollar figures, it literally has paid for my winter heating.
It's amazing.
Which is quite cool. Like, I basically got free
heat.
Warm
in this case.
I got free heat. And, you know, paid my electric bill for me. So I'm not complaining at all. I had to do it, like, there's specialized equipment that I had to purchase for these particular coins, and I can only mine.
Now, are you liquidating? I mean, obviously I'm asking you a lot of questions about something that could be a private thing, but are you selling them all, or are you holding on to some of them?
Oh, I'm hodling.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't really pay for your electric bill.
Well, I mean,
you're paying for it. You're turning your electric bill into cryptocurrency.
Somebody told me that what I'm doing is using the electric company as a non-KYC exchange.
That's right. Well, it's not exchange. I guess you're exchanging electricity for...
I'm exchanging electricity for cryptocurrency is what I'm doing.
Yep. And it's off the books as far as, like, what the government knows.
Well, I do have to give my slave name and all that to the electric company, so it's not really not true. Non-KYC. But... I just look at it as it's a benefit to me to get the heat off of these machines, produce an incredible amount of heat. It gets cold in the winter here in the Shire.
Instead of paying for electric heat, which your house is an electric heated house.
Right.
When you bought it, that's the way it was.
Yep.
So instead of just paying for the heat, now you're heating and getting something out of it.
Correct.
When you do that, which is cool. Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. We got Robert. He's on the line in South Carolina listening to WTMA in Charleston. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi. I just heard what you said at the beginning of the program, you know, about having to be off the air and undergoing those kinds of difficulties. My suggestion is, you know, don't stick your head out too far, because these things are going to go the way they're going to go anyhow. This is a big item, and one person or even one organization is not going to make that much of a difference. This is kind of like when the Romans invaded Jerusalem in AD 70.
Haven't you ever watched Knight Rider?
Have I?
Yeah.
No, remember
the old show, David Hasselhoff?
The car that talks.
And the car that talks.
Kit,
the Knight Industries 2000.
I rarely
the first
it.
Lesson of Knight Rider is one man can make a difference.
yes, one man can make a difference. That's true. But this is going to go the way it's going to go anyhow, whether you get involved or not.
Well, I don't know if I subscribe to that that particular philosophy. I can understand where you're coming from. You're saying that one man ultimately is just a drop in the ocean, and
how about the tank man?
Ooh, great point. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Robert. I have the habit of sticking my head up, and that does mean that sometimes you could get it cut off by government agents
or whack-a-mole.
And like I bring this up, I think I've brought it up a few times here on Free Talk Live, but in any social movement of any kind, the second man is the most important. Mm-hmm. And so if one man sticks his head out and other people also stand up and go, hey, me too, then that's the beginning of the social movement. And then the third man and the fourth man become the most important, et cetera, and so on.
In this case, they're trying to cut off six heads at once, though. The Crypto Six were all arrested at the same morning in March. You can go to thecrypto6.com to learn more about what's happening to some of us here. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Tropical depression Claudette is moving into the Carolinas after dropping heavy rains in Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi. It also left 12 people dead in its wake. 10 people, including 9 children, died Saturday in a multiple vehicle crash south of Montgomery, Alabama. Police say 8 children were killed in a van from a youth ranch for abused or neglected kids. The vehicles likely hydroplaned on the wet roads, triggering a chain reaction crash. Claudette is forecast to re-strengthen to a tropical storm before it moves over the North Carolina coast and back out to sea. And after a preliminary investigation, authorities are calling a deadly crash at a Florida Pride parade an accident. A truck about to join the Wilton Manors parade Saturday evening quickly accelerated, hitting at least 2 people, killing one and severely injuring another. Police say they believe the elderly driver accidentally accelerated. He was taken into custody at the scene and has cooperated with the investigation. This is USA Radio News. At his meeting last week with Vladimir Putin, President Biden said that he warned his counterpart that the U.S. would retaliate in kind against future cyber attacks. The president told reporters after the meeting that he told Putin there would be consequences unless the Kremlin clamped down on hackers, possibly beginning a cyber cold war. But Fiona Hill says the cyber war is already a hot one. The former senior director for European and Russian affairs on the National Security Council tells CBS's Face the Nation that the U.S. needs to try to get the Russian government to agree to exercise some restraint.
We've already seen these ransomware attacks, which, you know, many of us suspect have been criminals for hire or at least have not been reined in by Russia, which is, you know, tantamount also to certainly allowing attacks to take place on, you know, everything from pipelines to hospitals and other systems. And in terms of information war, I mean, we know that the Russians have been out using social media platforms, all kinds of propaganda. So we're already there. I mean, what we're trying to do is try to rail that back and try to get some kind of restraint here.
This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything here. The number, if you want to join us on this live Sunday episode, is 202-380-3699. That's 202-380-3699. Or there's another option now that you can call in with called SIP, which is an online calling system that is free to use. So wherever you are in the world, you can now easily call Free Talk Live. And when I say easy, I mean you do have to do a little hoop jumping to get it set up. But there are some step-by-step instructions that I've included. If you go to freetalklive.com, you'll find them there.
I saw an email about it, too. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I sent it out as an email.
You're very thorough.
I try.
With your directions.
Yeah. You know, it's a process. You know, you got to download an app and make sure you get an account, set it up right. But it's all free, so it just takes you 10 minutes or something like that. And then you should be able to call in. And you'll sound great. You'll sound better through this SIP method than you would if you just picked up the phone.
Yeah. And it's also easier on us because it doesn't require us to have like a secondary method to answer these calls, especially they come in.
Yeah, it comes in the same place.
So, we treat it just like any other call, except it sounds way better.
Yeah, so try that out if you get the chance. It's Ian Bonney and Captain Kickass in the studio here. Let's get into this story. We've been teasing it for, an hour or so.
All show.
From Politico.com. It's about the Federal Reserve
taking what they say may be the first significant step toward launching its own virtual currency, a move that could shake up banks, give millions of low-income Americans access to the financial system, and fortify the dollar's status as the world reserve currency.
I don't buy any of those words.
Hmm.
Like, well, I mean, the dollar is already a digital currency.
True.
How is making this digital dollar going to give any poor people more access that they don't have already to the dollar? The dollar is...
Here's how. Okay. Without having actually, without having read this story in detail, my understanding is the federal government will begin operating wallets. Here's what some people are saying. So, like, Vin Armani, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, he's now changed his name, by the way. He's now Cyprianus, or Cyprian, I think, on Twitter. Anyway, he is saying that what they're going to do is they're going to... Of course, it's the government, so it could be years before they actually finally roll this thing out. But once they get this thing out, they'll say, all right... New stimulus package, you need more COVID money or whatever the reason is at the time.
Yeah.
Here's your $1,200 check. You can only redeem it if you open up one of these new central bank wallets.
Ugh.
I heard that he changed his name because he loves calling into Free Talk Live using the SIP.
No, unfortunately, we haven't heard from Vin in quite a while. I love the guy, but he made the move down to the Mariana Islands, and he is having the time of his life down there.
It's nice. Good for him.
Seems like so. Good for him. He posts some really interesting stuff to Twitter, though. So they're making it sound like this is going to be the next level for the dollar, that this is going to be the evolution of the dollar. The idea of creating a fully digital version of the U.S. dollar, which was unthinkable just a few years ago, has gained bipartisan interest from lawmakers as diverse as Senator Elizabeth Warren, who, by the way, recently attacked, I believe, cryptocurrency, if I recall her. Either it was her or Nancy Pelosi. I get those two mixed up.
Never trust a woman with two first names either.
And John Kennedy, because of its potential benefits for consumers who don't have bank accounts. But it's also sparking strong pushback from those with the most to lose, the banks. Quote, the United States should not implement a central bank digital currency simply because we can or because others are doing so, unquote, said the American Bankers Association in a statement to lawmakers this week.
We may have to get a real job.
I like the wedge being driven between the banks and the state here.
Yeah.
If there's a redeeming quality to, so far, this sounds like it might be it.
They said in a statement this week to the government gang, the benefits are, quote, theoretical, said the bankers, difficult to measure, and may be elusive, while the negative consequences could be severe, they wrote. The explosive rise of private cryptocurrencies in recent years motivated the Fed to start considering a digital dollar to be used alongside the traditional paper currency. The biggest driver of concern was a Facebook-led effort launched in 2019 to build a global payments network using crypto technology. Where is that, by the way? Has anybody heard what the latest is on the Facebook stablecoin?
Oh, Libra?
Yeah.
Why would they name it that?
They changed the name a couple of times.
Cryptocurrency of the corporation, I think, is just a failing premise.
Yeah. Well, they failed already because they really, Facebook screwed it up by announcing
it that they were going to do doing this. It.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about all of this story is just like how late the government is.
Why weren't they doing this
10 years ago?
And the banks, too. Like, I contend, and I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, but the banks have had a decade now to, fire up a bunch of cryptocurrency miners at all of their bank locations, for example.
Right.
If they want to get with the times and they want to remain a solvent business into the future, why they need to get on this bandwagon lickety-split.
It's just proof that they're not used to actually having to compete.
No, not at all. And to answer your question, Bonnie, why they didn't do this a decade ago? Well, number one, they're government, they're slow. But number two, a decade ago, no one took Bitcoin seriously. Mm-hmm. Not even...
They still don't take it seriously.
Well, I disagree with you there. I mean, there's...
And outside of raiding and, throwing people in jail, I guess they take it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely taking it seriously now. The fact that they're considering doing this is an indicator that Bitcoin's a real competitor, that cryptocurrency is something they consider to be worth talking about and worth doing something something about. Now, of course, it's going to take them some time to roll this thing out, but that's a whole other story. So though the effort is much narrower, which is to say the Facebook thing, it demonstrated how the private sector could, in theory, create a massive currency system outside of government control, which, of course, is not true because, all the, as you pointed out, Captain, corporations are government-controlled. Look, when you ask for a corporate status, you're asking for it from the government. You don't just when you go into business, you're not a corporation by default. You're just a person or, you know, a group of people who's gone into business to provide a product or service. You're offering a thing to the marketplace. People incorporate because, well, they're expected to do so, or they think it's going to confer some benefits like limited liability and things like that. And when they incorporate, they're asking the government, they're begging for a privilege.
It is another form of licensing.
That's all it is. You're asking them for a privilege, and when you ask for a privilege, you have to do things, and that is to say you have to be obedient. So the idea that it's outside of government control, what Facebook's doing, is ridiculous. In fact, the reason why Facebook failed is because they announced this in advance, and it gave the opportunity for the government to call them in and, like, have testimony, and they called in Mark Zuckerberg, and they're like, what are you doing? How can you compete with our dollar? You're a bad man.
Yeah.
And so they're, oh, okay, well, we won't do it this way. Well, they were originally, remember, they were going to put a bunch of, like, basket full of different currencies from around the world, government currencies, put them in a quote-unquote basket, and then, like, take whatever the average or price, some sort of figure out a price from that for this thing that they were going to create.
Yeah.
Well, now, then after the government got a hold of, you know, them and said, what are you doing? Facebook said, oh, well, we won't do that. We'll just do a dollar-based thing.
And then they didn't.
Well, they're still supposedly coming out with it. So
I've heard nothing about it.
I saw something the other day.
To me, it sounds like what happened is the government shook their baton in Facebook's general direction.
Yeah.
And Facebook went, oh, don't do
that. And they stepped too. They absolutely did.
They flinched.
Yeah, now central banks around the world have begun exploring the idea of issuing their own digital currencies, a fiat version of a cryptocurrency. It's not a cryptocurrency. The reason why it's not a cryptocurrency is because they have total control over it. It will not be cryptographically secure. It will be under their authority, in which case, if they want to repossess every single digital dollar that's in quote-unquote your wallet, they will, because it's actually their wallet with your name on it.
And who's to say that that's not true, considering the fact that they do that with bank accounts all the time?
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
This will be a government bank. The Federal Reserve will finally offer individual accounts. Because right now the Federal Reserve interacts with banks. It's sort of the banker's bank, right? And so,
ooh, that's going to piss off the banks.
That's why they're pissed off.
Yay. Wow.
So let's continue, because there's more to say about this. And they are also, not only are they trying to compete with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, but they're also trying to compete with other countries around the world. Other central banks are already a year ahead of them on developing this idea. 202-380-3699 is our number if you are interested in this, or bring up whatever you want. You can comment on Free Talk Live.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. The number here, 202-380-3699. That is a phone number where you can call us and talk about whatever is on your mind. 202-380-3699. And it's the live Sunday edition of the program here as we continue with the news about the federal digital dollar, where the Federal Reserve is currently talking about starting their own, what they want you to believe is a cryptocurrency. It's not.
Will the banks call for separation of money and state?
Oh, I doubt the banks will do anything of the sort. They will beg and plead the federal government to not do this, which is what they're already doing. The American Bankers Association is saying the government should not implement a central bank digital currency, that they say it could be dangerous. The consequences could be severe.
Or could this be the first signs of sort of the wedge that this technology will drive in the bureaucracy, right? And I say that to say, let's say the federal government is planning on having, like, this federal crypto wallet or digital wallet for your federal currencies. What's to stop the banks from doing the same thing and creating a competition between the Federal Reserve and the regular banks, right, the non-Federal Reserve?
What would that look like?
I don't know, but it's an interesting thing to think about.
Would the banks be making their own stable coin?
Or how about just creating their own wallet? Bank wallet, right? Chase wallet, Bank of America wallet, right? Whatever that is.
God, imagine how terrible those would be. I mean, these websites, bank websites, are just some of the worst websites out there. They have all kinds of money, but their websites are just the they look like they're stuck in the year 2003.
Well, that's because everything's moved to apps, but their apps aren't any better either.
No, they're garbage. So I don't think that the banks are going to get all of a sudden more competitive just because the government is introducing a digital currency. But what you probably will see is, this is my speculation.
Sure.
If the federal government moves forward with this, the banks obviously aren't going to go out of business the next day. So they will try and they'll try to hang on with all their dear might and try to offer a free toaster or whatever if you go open up an account with them.
Yep.
Or, whatever the reason, they're going to try to get you to stay with them. But let's get back into the story here. They're talking about how because of cryptocurrency, because now Facebook a couple of years ago announced this thing that they called Libra. It's apparently been renamed to Diem. They're apparently going to launch it later this year.
We've learned that Diem means day.
That's right. And so that was one of the things that led them to start looking at this seriously. I imagine it was also the fact that the Chinese government is rolling one of these things out. Now, I don't know where they're at. I haven't been following it closely.
That makes me smile. The folks can't hear my smile. But this means that we are beginning to see governments become competitive entities. And if governments become competitive entities, that is a win for regular folks, for AKA citizens, right? I don't like using that word, but people who fall under the realm of governments, this is a win for them. If governments compete, that means they're one step closer to becoming service agencies.
Mm.
And in order for them to remain competitive, they're going to have to figure out how to provide the cheapest, goods or products or services that governments claim monopoly on amongst each other. And that bodes well for the rest of humanity.
I don't disagree with you in theory there, but I'll say
it's just a start. It's a little seed.
Yeah, right. I mean, the fact that there's the fact that there might be a digital dollar at some point from the Federal Reserve isn't really a meaningful, change for anyone.
No, but it's the competition. Like you said, China has the head start.
That's
and now
right.
Other countries are starting, oh, my gosh, China, we better get on this bandwagon, mm-hmm. right? So this is the beginning of what I envision to be competition between governments to provide the best, least expensive products and services.
But it's still just trash. I mean,
it'll
always be. The digital dollar will always be trash, just like the regular dollar is. It'll be inflated. Beyond belief, just like the regular dollar
Agreed.
Is. And so it's just another tool for them to screw people. So let's be clear with that. Central banks are now exploring these ideas of their own digital currencies, a fiat version of a cryptocurrency, which is false. It is not going to be cryptographically sound or secure, that will operate more like physical cash, that would have some of the same technological benefits as other cryptocurrencies. I don't think that whoever wrote this article for Politico knows what they're talking about, because a digital dollar run by the Federal Reserve, a Federal Reserve wallet in which these digital dollars are quote-unquote held, remember, you don't have them, they do.
Right.
You would have a database entry in their database with an amount in it, which means it's absolutely nothing like physical cash. The only thing that makes it like physical cash is that it's called the dollar.
Right.
Physical cash, you can physically hold, and you could put it somewhere where they can't get it.
Guess what physical cash has that this digital dollar won't have? Privacy.
That's an important point.
Right? Like, yeah. I can go on Craigslist and find, a guitar or something I want to buy.
Yeah.
And if I have enough FRNs, Federal Reserve Notes, dollars, to go buy the guitar, I can go buy the guitar and nobody knows how much I spent.
Except for the seller.
If it's the digital dollar, though, you bet your babushka that the government knows exactly
how much.
It's all
on the record.
Yeah.
And that's what these people want. And that's why, despite what the banks are going to say, likely the future is that they're going to move in this direction because it gives them more control. And that's what they want. I mean, they have plenty of control through the banks, through the credit card companies. They have plenty of tracing on a ton of money that moves around. But this puts it all into their system.
It's going to be a failing concept because they're not going to be able to compete with cryptocurrency, decentralized cryptocurrency.
They won't.
They won't. And if they try, they will fail. And the more that they fail, the more that they will realize that they have to either adopt a decentralized currency or make their currency decentralized themselves.
That would provide, back to the story here from Politico, unwelcome competition for banks by giving depositors another safe place. No, it's not going to be safe. Not if they want you. They are going to take every single digital dollar from your account and place it in their central holdings. Just like they can take money out of your bank accounts today by walking in with a letter. Now they don't even have to send a letter.
Right,
with this,
they'll just click the button.
A person or business could keep their digital dollars in a virtual, quote, wallet, unquote, and then transfer them directly to someone else without needing to use a bank account. Remember, you won't be transferring them to the other person. You're only going to be moving them within the ledger that the federal government will be running. So the other person doesn't have any claim on these things. Again, everybody just has an account with the government. Even if the wallet were operated by a bank, the firm wouldn't be able to lend out the cash. But unlike other crypto assets, it would be like Bitcoin, it would be directly backed and controlled by the central bank. There's no backing. So again, that's a lie. But it will be controlled by the central bank. That much is true. Allowing the monetary authorities to use it like any other form of the dollar in its policies to guide interest rates. The Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Digital Currency Initiative are aiming next month to publish the first stage of their work to determine whether a federal virtual currency would work on a practical level. An open source license for the most basic piece of infrastructure around creating and moving digital dollars. Let's be clear, whatever they're saying is open source here. Maybe they're having a competition as far as who can write some code for them.
I want to say something to listener land, anybody who's listening to this show. There, if you take anything away from tonight's program, take away this, that there is a huge difference between a digital currency and a decentralized cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
What the U.S. government in this article is talking about is not a cryptocurrency.
And it's not decentralized.
It is not decentralized. So, huge difference. It's not a cryptocurrency. It's a digital currency that they're talking about creating.
Yes. And that they would control completely.
And there's a bunch of, like, conspiracy theories surrounding, like, oh, the World Bank and, you know, all the governments have been wanting to eliminate cash for some time and get everybody on a digital world currency, et cetera, and so on. And people speculate that, you know, Bitcoin is that. No, it's not. Because if it were, the governments wouldn't be trying to do this. The governments are so far behind the curve that a decade after cryptocurrency was invented, they're just now coming around to the idea, oh, well, maybe we should have some sort of digital cash.
It will be likely up to Congress, says Politico, to ultimately decide whether the central bank should formally pursue such a project, as Fed Chair Jerome Powell has acknowledged. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are intrigued, particularly as they eye China's efforts to build their own central bank digital currency, as well as the global rise of cryptocurrencies, both of which could diminish the dollar's influence. And indeed, why would anyone who knows what cryptocurrencies are and the potential that they have and the tremendous rise in value they've seen over the last 12 years, why would anyone want to put in their money into government bonds, you know, when they can buy cryptocurrencies, including other governments? And as we saw within the last week, El Salvador, I believe, passed the law
be implemented in the next month or two
that says that Bitcoin is now legal tender in El Salvador. Now, it's alongside of the dollar, from what I understand, but for that level of, you know, governmental acknowledgement of cryptocurrency is unprecedented, and it may be the beginning of an avalanche of, you know, monkey see, monkey do action with other countries filing on. More coming up. Free talk.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.